Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Arnold Hamilton, the editor of the Oklahoma Observer, a 34-year veteran of daily newspapers. He's a former staff writer for the Dallas Morning News, the San Jose Mercury News, the Dallas Times-Herald, the Tulsa Tribune, and the Oklahoma Journal. His reporting on Oklahoma City bomber Timothy McVeigh's conviction was honored, along with the New York Times, by the American Society of Newspaper Editors. Welcome to Background Briefing, Arnold Hamilton.
It's a pleasure to be here.
And your two senators there, Tom Coburn and Jim Imhoff, are both Republicans, fiscal hawks. They've been against funding for disaster aids. They've opposed increasing funding for FEMA. They're looking like they've got egg on their face now. How are they explaining themselves?
Well, what sells in Oklahoma right now, unfortunately, is this notion that we have a monster federal debt that is going to be borne by our grandchildren, and that we can't continue to spend like this. We're just going to spend ourselves into oblivion, and the United States, as we know it, is going to collapse. And of course, the reality is far different when you consider the percentage of debt versus our gross national product and things like that. We're really not in bad shape at all. It's really breathtakingly hypocritical when you consider the fact that Oklahoma is so dependent on federal dollars. Federal jobs are among the federal government's among the largest employers in Oklahoma. Federal dollars that have come in for all kinds of projects. We are a recipient state in Oklahoma. We are not a donor state, and without all the federal dollars that came into Oklahoma, this state would be in serious trouble. But it's amazing how Inhofe and Coburn and the Republicans who have come to dominate the state of Oklahoma have managed to sell people here on the notion that the federal government is somehow the evil empire that we have to protect ourselves from, all the while we're receiving all these federal dollars back. But nobody wants to be seen as sort of accepting the federal dollars, and it's put the Republican leaders in this state on a real tightrope in a lot of cases. And this is another example. Coburn at least is consistent in his position on this. He's demanded offsets for, you know, any federal spending for a long time. And he comes across, you know, looking, fairly consistent by saying, you know what, even if it's my home state, I still hold to that principle that we have to have those offsets. Of course, if you're consistently wrong, where does that, you know, put you exactly? But Inhofe seems to be making it up as he goes along. Hurricane Sandy was bad because there were all these goodies thrown in, but suddenly federal aid for Oklahoma is a wonderful thing that should be accepted because, by golly, we won't allow those little goodies to be thrown in. Well, that's the way the system has always worked and will continue to work. And he has happily played that game and gotten lots of federal pork for Oklahoma over the years. But when he gets it, it's wise, prudent spending. It's not the pork that it is if some other state receives it.
Well, on CBS's This Morning, Tom Coburn said the very kids that were rescued from the schools that were hit by the tornado, the very kids we're interested in, why should we saddle them when we're wasting money? In other words, he's invoking the children for his fiscal hawkish views, which, as you pointed out, don't have a lot to do with the overall reality of the economy. But obviously, he's a very deeply religious man. And my question would be about his religiosity and the governor and all of these politicians, these Republicans who dominate your state, Arnold Hamilton. What about the kids that died? I mean, you've had a big tornado very near where this one happened a few years ago. The school was destroyed. It happened at 6 p.m., so that it wasn't filled with kids. They reinforced the corridor so you have a safe room. There was no safe room for these schools. And the very teachers that the governor in Oklahoma vilifies and has cut their wages and tells them that they should arm themselves with guns at the same time taking away their funding, there's no safe rooms. It was the teachers who save these kids. So I think Coburn's missing the point here.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt, but, you know, irony seems to be lost on a lot of these folks, and not only in elective office, and they get by with it, of course, because their constituents are buying what they're selling at this point. But yeah, isn't it ironic that the teachers here, who have just been treated like serfs at best, particularly in the last 6 or 7 years since the Republicans took control of both houses of the legislature and then won all the statewide offices, they have been given scraps, basically, and nothing. There's been very little investment. It's remarkable to me. A lot of these folks seem to know the cost of everything and the value of nothing. And people are now beginning to wake up. Some rank and file voices, and they're particularly poignant when they come from parents whose children, you know, managed to survive this disaster. But folks are beginning to speak up and say, you know, it's a modest cost, but it's worth the investment to provide some safety for these kids at school, safe rooms, whatever it might be. And yet, you can't get the legislature in Oklahoma to fund new textbooks, much less a safe room at this point. Funding's been cut close to 30% over the last 5 years. And, you know, obviously the cost of doing business has not dropped 30% over the last 3 years. So are we investing in our future? Do we really care about our kids? Or are we just providing lip service and saying, yes, we're pro-education because we know that's what people want to hear? You got to put your money where your mouth is on this. And a lot of these folks haven't. And you have to wonder if we're reaching a critical point. This will be just another event in a long series of events that will eventually wake people up in Oklahoma to say, whoa, wait a minute, we're not investing the way that we should be in our future, and certainly not in the safety of our children.
Again, Arnold Hamilton, the editor of the Oklahoma Observer, a 34-year veteran of daily newspapers. His reporting on Oklahoma City bomber Timothy McVeigh's conviction was honored along with the New York Times by the American Society of Newspaper Editors. So how did your state end up being controlled by these Christian fundamentalist politicians, both in the state houses, the governorship, the two senators? I guess in a way they represent the evolution of the Republican Party, where the corporatists and the Christian fundamentalists have sort of formed a political fusion that dominates the party. But what about the state? This is a state that has a history of left-wing labor radicalism some time ago, but nevertheless, I'm just trying to get a sense here of what the pushback is when you've got people like Tom Coburn, who are so certain of their beliefs, particularly when he talks about kids being saddled with debt is more important than protecting their very lives.
Well, it really, if you go back to the early 1960s, Senator Robert S. Kerr, who was regarded as the uncrowned king of the U.S. Senate, said that he believed that Oklahoma would one day become a solidly Republican state. And, of course, it was totally dominated by Democrats at the time, and people thought that he was crazy. But when asked to explain himself, he said there are two reasons why: the Daily Oklahoman, the state's largest newspaper, and the Southern Baptist Convention. And the influence of the Oklahoman over the years. Now, it's waned, as you know, with the changing media landscape in recent years. But it really helped set in motion a lot of this corporatism and fundamentalism that we see in Oklahoma today. And when the Republican Party wedded itself with the Southern Baptist Convention and other sort of like-minded fundamentalist religious groups, it really turned the whole notion of separation of church and state on its ear. It is not at all unusual to hear politics preached from the pulpit these days in Oklahoma. And a lot of the congregants, of course, they believe their minister is God's man in the pulpit. And though I don't know very many of them who are MDs and thus necessarily equipped to talk about healthcare, or political scientists and thus equipped to talk about some of the political issues of the day, but that doesn't mean that they don't pound that from the pulpit Sunday after Sunday. And of course, what we see then in Oklahoma is, let's take the teachers, for example, because we were talking about them earlier and how they were the heroes, really, of this disaster and how mistreated they've been under the Republican domination of the last 6 or 7 years. Fully 40%, according to the polls, of the teachers in Oklahoma are voting Republican these days. So, in effect, they have somehow been convinced to vote against their self-interest. And the way that's taken place is, and if you talk to them about that, you know, they have been convinced from the pulpit that you can't be a Christian and vote for a Democrat, because Democrats are pro-abortion, they're pro-gay rights, they're pro all these things that undermine the traditional American family and traditional American society as we conceive of it, going back to, you know, the father knows best, leave it to Beaver days of the 1950s. Sure. And so, when you have a whole group of people who are willing to vote against their self-interest because they have been convinced their Christianity is somehow at stake, then you can see why a state like Oklahoma could turn so completely over the last 40 or 50 years. You know, this state has not voted for a Democrat for president since Lyndon Johnson in 1964. Mm. And in the last two elections, for the first time ever, a Democrat did not carry a single county in Oklahoma. None of the 77 counties gave Barack Obama a majority of their votes. And of course, you know, there are other reasons for that, not least of which is race in some parts of Oklahoma, unfortunately.
Well, Arnold Hamilton, I'm afraid we've run out of time, but I thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate this conversation.
You're welcome. Call anytime.
Again, I've been speaking with Arnold Hamilton, the editor of the Oklahoma Observer, a 34-year veteran of daily newspapers. He's a former staff writer for the Dallas Morning News, the San Jose Mercury News, the Dallas Times-Herald, the Tulsa Tribune, and the Oklahoma Journal. His reporting on Oklahoma City bomber Timothy McVeigh's conviction was honored, along with the New York Times, by the American Society of Newspaper Editors. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back with a critique of capitalism.